Lake Effect continues now on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. When you get a cold or the flu or other viral illnesses, your immune system adapts to keep you from getting that particular strain of illness again. So too with vaccines, which essentially train your body to fight off infection from the virus or bacterium they're designed to protect you from.
Except your immune system doesn't always cooperate. Some vaccines need booster shots over time. And some people, especially the elderly, are susceptible to diseases they wouldn't have caught at another time in their lives. So what's going on?
It is a question that researcher Jack Gorski is trying to answer in his work at the Blood Center of Wisconsin. He and Blood Center Chief Storyteller Ben Marins joined us in the studio recently, and Gorski gave us a primer on how the immune system works.
I'm going to start really, really basic. So there's two levels of immunity, and this is all based around the fact that in my mind and, well, in all our minds as immunologists, the immune system is the other system that remembers, right? You have to remember that there's these organisms out here that are problematic, right? And so there's a level of immunity that we're born with, and it's called innate immunity, right? And this these are genes that we've been carrying since we were amoebas, right, that tell us this is bacteria, either eat it or stay away from it, right? And so we have these genes, and what they're doing is they are recognizing something about bacteria or viruses that's not natural, and something they can't change about themselves. Then we have this other level of immunity, which is fascinating to me, a little bit more fascinating than the one that's kind of built into our genes, and that's a level of immunity where on the fly, you're going to look ahead and try to guess what's coming down the pike and be ready for it.
And this is acquired immunity?
This is acquired immunity, right. And so what's interesting about acquired immunity is the genetics of it. The way that we acquire this immunity is we are actually going to stop doing in a certain set of cells what we do all the time to protect our genetic material. And we're going to actually allow them to flip around. And in some cases, we're going to even mutate them. Right. None of these things are what you actually want to do. The whole idea behind genetics is that, you know, your offspring look like you. Right. And here there's a certain subset of cells in our bodies that do this. And that's really, really fascinating. I mean, this process is fascinating. And what it is, in a way, is it's evolution in real time. If that's the way I like to talk about it, because you are going to generate diversity without actually knowing exactly what the diversity is for. And then you're going to have a population, and the ones that actually wind up recognizing the pathogens are going to get rewarded by having offspring, et cetera. And so you start off with this base level of cells. You know, basically each cell is a distinct individual, and you're going to over time develop this population of cells where they've sort of expanded because they're useful. And then we see that as memory, right? We say, okay, right, you now have cells that have remembered influenza or remembered smallpox or remembered whatever you ran across, right? And these cells also have a function, right? So there's cells that kill, there are cells that get other cells to do the dirty work for them, you know, the T cells, right? And the B cells make antibodies. So yeah, so to me, this is the fascinating core of immunology, and it's sort of, when Ben asks me to come out and speak, it's usually I try to give him this, you know, just think of what's happening in your body. And then the second thing, of course, is that time is playing a big role in this. So T cells, because they come from the thymus. When we're little, the thymus is this huge pink organ. And by the time we're in our 20s, it's a slab of fat pretty much. And so... we have the childhood as a time that we're responding to all this. We're developing these immune system, this adaptive immune system, and then at a certain point, we've reached some kind of a steady state where it's actually protecting us without, and it shuts off.
Huh. Well, so does that mean when we're given a vaccine when we're older that it's doing the work that the thymus would have done? Earlier in life?
Well, so most vaccines are to make new antibodies. And the B cells can keep making new antibodies as long as they have their T cells that are sort of saying, yeah, okay, this is – and so, yeah, so it gets more difficult as you get older, especially if the vaccine is going to have components in it that your existing T cells have a hard time recognizing.
So you talk about the idea of memory, and it's kind of a figure of speech here. It's not memory.
That's right. It's not memory. A psychologist would tar and feather me for you.
All right. So it seems like then one of the abiding questions, because you talk about the effects of age and time. There are times when this memory, as we're referring to it, doesn't work anymore, right? There are certain responses that over time, like, for example, vaccines that need boosters. Are we still trying to figure out the effects of time?
Yeah. We're trying to figure all this out. You've touched on two issues. One is the effect of time, but the other is that initial interaction. How long does it last? Okay, I guess you're going to say that's the effect of time. And why does a certain immunity die off after 3 or 4 years, whereas another one, you can check 50 years later and you still, you won't respond to this.
It's like smallpox versus tetanus.
Yeah, right. Where you need boosters and you don't, and we still don't totally understand that. So it could be sort of analogous to thinking you have this space, and in this space you could put all these objects that can recognize things, and you're going to things that you get more frequently, or things that were perhaps more deadly, the feedback dedicates more of the recall space for that, and the problem is you only have so much space. So tetanus must sort of dwindle away, somehow in the history of this generating this system, the kind of pathogen a tetanus is just doesn't rate something equivalent to smallpox. But that's easily said. Do we know this for sure? No, right? So there's still a lot we don't understand about this, and a lot of this is still kind of important in terms of thinking about vaccinology for one, and that's sort of where I kind of like to stay, is in the area of vaccines, because that has been probably the biggest public health improvement, that clean water, since the 1600s, 1700s or whatever.
We first talked about this one had to do with flu and why somebody in their 70s could be stricken by a flu that in their 40s they wouldn't have been stricken by.
Well, so flu, actually the virus changes too, right? And what changes with time, the first thing I think that changes with time is your ability to lose flexibility, right, or plasticity. And so at 40, a new flu strain comes in that you haven't seen before. You have more T cells that are there still that might recognize, it's not the major sort of recognition, but it's still there and it's enough to sort of swing over and help out so that you can get a response. As you get older and older, you focus more and more on those things that have been useful. Time is also decaying away some of these other things that haven't been so useful recently, more than it had been when you were younger, because the entropy is sort of starting to run stuff down. And so you're now spiking out at those things that are really useful, dropping stuff away, and then now if something falls in between, you have a problem. I mean, it used to be an adaptive system, and it's really stopped adapting to some extent.
What makes this a particularly challenging field for you to study? What are the questions that are hardest for you to get to the answers of?
A lot of this is very difficult to study because the immunology that's most striking is what happens in people, right? When one thinks about, influenza, right, which I think about a lot because it got locked into it and it's a very interesting pathogen. What's easiest to do is sometimes simpler, right? So we can easily understand the first, how the immune system first fires. You have mice, and they have a complex immune system very similar to ours, right? And you can take a mouse that's never seen something and you know, immunize it and take out the organs and study all that. But you, what you've got is just that first blip. This is what's happening in a three-month-old or a six-month-old or a one-year-old. But that's not where it ends, right? I mean, the system as you view it when you think of what's happening to us, to humans, is a lot more complicated. And that's hard to, that's harder to do. So that there's an intrinsic difficulty there, and the way around it is to sort of approach it from both ends, sort of get a good feeling for the fundamentals, but also try to keep applying it to, you know, situations that are a little bit more perhaps real or real world, let's call it that, right? That's the issue. The issue is a very complicated system, and not as complicated as, a neurobiologist would say, oh, no, it's not complicated at all. Just wait till you try looking at a brain, kid. But no, but it has its complexity, and it's hard to get at.
Well, and so when Ben brings you out in the field and you talk about these things, what are the questions that you get most often from people?
Typically, you get this, oh, I didn't know that kind of feeling. And then you get questions about, so people will start relating it to themselves. And you start getting questions about, what's happening? Is there anything I can do? And we're still, in what I'm talking about, we're still at that level where it's really hard to come up with reasonable ideas. I mean, the one sort of that I think about is, gosh, when I was 40, if I could have only put some of my white cells away, I could take them back now, and I would increase my diversity by a lot. But if you say, the number one thing is what I'm trying to get at in the time I have left is to see if I can measure the decay of the system, and by measuring the decay of the system, could you at least tell people that what you're at a stage where you really don't where prevention is the best cure. Stay away from anybody that has sniffles or whatever. Right? It's kind of that approach. It'll help. I mean, it's not a fountain of youth. It's not turning back the clock of time, but it's at least saying here's where I am, and so I should, if my grandkids have runny noses, perhaps I just pat their heads from a distance.
Well, the viruses are constantly changing, so that's right. Part of the challenge of getting the vaccine right. They say that this year we didn't do as well as past years because it's partially a guess. Jack said earlier, the people we're going to talk to, and when we've gone to talk to elders, they said, why is the cold last longer? Or the flu was really horrific, last year, but 5 years ago or 10 years ago, not so much. Because we do weaken. So studying how we weaken and then how do we enhance is the goal of what we're looking at. Ultimately, you're not going to ever cure all disease, so someone's going to live through their life.
We don't know. Right. We could write science fiction books.
Right, yeah. No, I guess you could. There's a guy in Green Bay who wrote a book called Die Healthy. His website, That Guy Nurse, John Shear. And he says, we're all going to die, but how you die is up to you. And we can evolve to a point where we aren't dying because of disease. We're dying because of old age. And I'm not sure if that's true, but his idea is the healthier we can be. So when we talk about the mysteries of your immune system, we're trying to talk to people about the idea that, unfortunately, there are a lot of things you can do to stay healthy. We can't do a lot to tell you how to enhance your immune system yet. That's sort of what you're looking at with the idea of give your 40 white cells back.
Right. There's going to be all the standards, eat well, exercise. But a lot of it probably is something you'd actually don't want to say if your audience is mostly over 60, is that it's too late. Right? That the formative years of your immune system is just like the formative years of your brain. They were back when you were a kid, right? And so we have no idea. I mean, we have our vaccination protocols and against the major pathogens, but we have no idea about all those other things that used to happen to you as a kid and how that may have been changing over time. And we have the cleanliness hypothesis for why you have such an increase in allergies and maybe to some extent autoimmune diseases. But these cells, they want to do something. Right? And their survival is based on wanting to do something. And if you're not actually giving them something to keep them occupied, idle hands.
It really is like having kids at home, right?
It is.
Jack Gorski and Ben Marins, a pleasure. Thank you so much for explaining this to us.
You're welcome.
Mitch, thank you.
Dr. Jack Gorski is the director of the Center for Human Immunology at the Blood Center of Wisconsin. Ben Marins is chief storyteller there. Gorski is scheduled to talk more about the immune system at an event Thursday evening at Ovation Sarah Chudnow in Mequon.